That's why I gotta preach it. Because if I don't, you won't believe it. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because it's by the preaching of that cross that those promises enter into us, man. And when we believe it, oh, the power comes to actually obtain it. I saw it firsthand. The first time I heard the gospel preached in truth. Every other time I've been hearing all the world gospels, all the lie gospels. And a man of God preached to me the gospel. And I heard it. The next day, I was delivered from drugs and alcohol when I returned, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was given unto me. In power. In a literal power that I could feel all over my body. Not in some emotional blah, blah, blah. I remember I was like, I took it like a scientific experiment. I was like, okay. I remember it was happening. I was like, this is really amazing. And I was like, what happens if I touch this? Can I touch you? What happens when I touch you? Ooh, that's weird. It kind of, as soon as I touch you, it stops. Then I take my hand away and it starts. I remember I did that like 3 or 4 times. I was like, I touch him. The buzz, the powerful feeling departs. But then I take it away and it comes back. I didn't know what to make of it. But I just kind of tested it out on stuff. I wasn't like, all like freaked out over it. I wasn't at all. I was sort of like, this is awesome. What is it? Because I was a very curious mind. I've always loved science and stuff like that. I do. I got a lot of, if you look at my wall, I have DVDs on science and history. Things that I've always been fascinated with. But you know what? In the gospel, it doesn't profit you anything. That's why I'm not going to preach to you out of science. I'm not going to preach to you out of philosophy. I'm not going to preach to you out of history much, except history is there. We, you know, Paul didn't live after the history we lived with. But we live in our current time, not in the time of Paul. But we get the wisdom from Paul, and the gospel hasn't changed. Though many have sought to change it. But what they've changed is not the gospel. They've just exchanged the gospel for that which cannot save. Righteousness must be, and essentially the number one thing among Protestants is they deny that we can obtain righteousness through faith, but they say righteousness is only imputed. And that's what I keep talking about. God just writes it down. He's not going to give you a gift. He just says, well, I gave you one. I wrote it down. He's stingy. He has all the power in heaven and earth. He demands righteousness, godliness. Don't be a hypocrite. But he doesn't want to help you do it. You got to do it all yourself. What a bunch of lies they tell you. What a bunch of lies they told me. And I used to tell. Oh. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, for unto them which are called, or but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Ooh, I like that. I should just keep reading. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen. Really, this is more, I like it disjointed. Let me read it disjointed. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look, Christ You see, the gospel's, Christ is of God, or from God, made to us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. That means the making, purification, making us pure, making us holy, redemption. He redeems us. Actually, that word redemption is lutrosis, which means to loosen. And to me, that indicates freedom. Loosed from the bonds of death. Loosed from the bonds of sin. That's the power of God. The power of God is Jesus. I preach the gospel that Jesus was crucified, and he becomes to us through all those promises, through these words. He becomes not just vain words, but a power that comes on you, a power that makes you wise, a power that makes you righteous, a power that makes you sanctified, a power that redeems you, that frees you. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But what do they say today? Today they say, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free theoretically. Because only theoretically are you righteous. Only theoretically are you sanctified. Only theoretically are you wise. Only theoretically are you redempted. Because God imputes it only, but he does not actually give it. And why do they do that? Because they make excuses for themselves. Because you know why? God didn't give them the promises. God didn't give them the wisdom. God didn't give them the righteousness. So they say, well, God isn't giving these things. But wait a second, I must be of God. So I'll just have to, re-understand this in such a way that I can be saved. Because everyone wants to be saved. Nobody wants to be left out. It's hard for people to accept. They see this word sent to God's elect, and they want to be of God. But then all of a sudden, they see the works of God don't happen to them. Things doesn't have, they don't understand, they don't have wisdom. So they begin to twist and pervert. And I say, oh my God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh Lord, please. But still, the counsels and wisdom of God stand sure. He did all these things to raise his sons. He doesn't owe any man anything. He doesn't owe the world anything. He doesn't owe those people anything. He only owes himself what he purposed in himself. Remember, there's a whole lot of people who never existed and never will exist. And those people who do exist, God doesn't owe us anything. He already gave us life. He's already being gracious to us. What do you mean? Well, look it. You could be one of the nameless unconceived. You know, and every man has billions of seed over a lifetime.